Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, everyone. This is Mary Lurson, Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, and welcome to this episode of Talking at Music Education. We are here in Anaheim, California, day three, live from the NAMM show, and just delighted to have a series of guests as part of our podcast, sharing with you all the excitement and the wonderful things that are happening here at the NAMM show. So I'm delighted to welcome Laura Escudé. Did I say it that correct?
Escudé. Very
Escudé.
Close.
Yeah. Escudé. Yeah. Almost got the emphasis on the right syllable.
Yes. Well, at least you didn't say eschewed. That's what I get a lot.
Thanks for the point.
Great.
That
yes.
point.
Yes. Yes. 95. Point. I give you 95. Right. Right.
So I want to dig back a little bit in history, but let's start. What are you doing here at the NAMM show? Let's just share some of the things that you're doing here at the NAMM show.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so honored to have been invited by NAMM to be here. I've been coming to NAMM for 15 years now.
Been
and
lurking around the edges.
I would love to tell you
we
about
didn't know
when
you
I
were
first
here.
Started. Mm-hmm. But I performed at the NAMM breakfast yesterday, which was quite an honor.
Which is a really big plenary gathering, about 3,000 people.
Yeah, it was a very small gathering of people eating breakfast, all looking at me.
Little breakfast teas, little tea sandwiches.
Watching me perform. Right, yeah, yeah, it was fantastic. Oh my gosh, it was so exhilarating. So I did that, and I've been performing at the Eventide booth because I've got a good relationship with them and use their products. I'm doing a panel later on for NAMM, Careers in Music Education.
With our Gen Next program and our College to Careers panel.
Yes, I sure am. And other than that, just seeing people, meeting people, just making connections, because that's what NAMM is all about, is making connections.
And let's be clear what instrument you play. So what did you play this morning?
I play violin, and I'm also a music producer. I call myself a controllerist. I use MIDI controllers to control my violin and all the
So this things. Morning with your violin, and I'm sorry, I missed it, because we were doing our fun little event with Bobby McFerrin. There's another name drop on the floor. But so you're obviously amplified and then mixing yourself as you play and you're doing all these cool things.
It's all electric, amplified, mixing and effects and original music and live looping. So I'm looping my violin in real time and vocals, and it's just very fun.
It's just you.
It's just me. Yeah.
Just you and your pedals and your...
Yeah. And my computer and my gear and everything.
And your brain on fire.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Obviously. To manage all that happening at the same time. So let's dig back a little bit in your life.
Yeah.
And, where did the violin start for you as a child, as an adolescent? Where did the violin come into your life?
About six, I saw a girl playing violin at church and I just fell in love with the instrument there. And I begged my parents to get me lessons, and they obliged, even though they want me to play the piano, but they understood, I took to the violin. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with it. I just kept playing and playing, and
originally took private lessons.
Private lessons, right? Yeah. And then when I started in middle school, they actually had a music education program. So that was my first time playing with other instrumentalists and playing in an orchestra. And that was just fascinating to me. I had no idea about the chair structure or how anything worked. And so I was very fortunate to have been introduced to that at a young age and to be able to collaborate and perform with other musicians. Yeah.
And then you went on to get formal degrees in music?
Right? I did. Yeah. I got a bachelor's in music and a minor in business from Florida State, and came out to LA and got into the film scoring program at UCLA Extension. And so I've just been very passionate about music and music competition and composition and production. Yeah.
So we talk with dozens and dozens of musicians as in the course of doing our podcast, and we almost always have to talk a little bit about, the basics, right? You're on this remarkable journey and building this career that involves all this technology, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But underneath it, you're a classically trained violinist. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like the basics,
Very
simple. The question is, how do these basics, this education for musicians that is centuries old, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good sound, bow technique,
Yeah.
Right? The violin's an ancient instrument. Oh, not quite ancient, but older instrument.
Yeah.
So how did these worlds come together for you? How did you find these worlds? How did you find these worlds that they could fit for the aesthetic that you wanted to produce?
I mean, it was really by accident. I was in college and playing classical music and in the orchestra. But I always felt like there was something more for me. Like,
just on the creative side?
Just on the creative side, yeah. I wanted to be able to improvise, but I didn't know how because I'd come from...
We don't learn that in classical. We don't learn that in classical.
No.
I think they do more now, but I.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was classically trained flutist.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah. No.
You want me to do what?
Yeah. How do you play something that's not on a sheet of paper that you're reading? So I at first struggled with that. But really, it was just by chance. A friend's boyfriend was a DJ. He was DJing electronic music. And I thought, well, I'll go to one of these parties and see what it's all about. And at first, it was just very overwhelming. And wow, this is a whole sound I've never even heard before. And then I decided that I really liked it. And I got into the music and I started playing violin with the DJs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And trying to improvise, but not knowing how. And just really stepping outside of my comfort zone because I realized I love this music so much. I wanted to learn how to perform over it, even if it meant just sounding terrible at first, which I really did.
So what was your first toe in the water? Your first, did you take like a melody that you liked and then you just start riffing around the melody and playing to a track? I mean, again, let's give sort of a pathway for any classical musician that maybe wants to take that step. You came from sort of a, you know, like you loved this tune, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, now I would say just for any musician that wants to learn how to do this, find a song that you like on Spotify or on the radio and just start trying to jam to it. You know, really, you'll start to learn the melodies by ear once you just start just playing over it.
And the structure by ear.
The structure.
And the harmonies by ear. And that you start playing with the harmonies, which you probably can analyze in your head because you're a trained musician.
Absolutely.
Right. So you have to take what you know and add to it as opposed to go, well, that's blocking me from knowing that. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think you can just have fun with it, you know, just have fun and start to learn different patterns. And then after that, maybe step outside of the melody that's in there and try to play some notes around the melody because you know what the key is of the song now. And then take that to the next level and just add some other embellishments and really just, I think just step by step, if you start to just play over some interesting songs that you love, something that might be on the radio or on Spotify, then you'll get to a whole nother level.
And you get comfortable and you start liking it more and then you have to go buy a pedal.
And you get a pedal, you plug it in and all the things. Yeah.
And that's kind of where you are now. You're very way out on the innovation spectrum with this, right?
No. Yeah.
I mean, don't you?
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to think so. You know, I've put in many years of learning this stuff and learning my craft and just I fell in love with it. And that's the thing is you find something that you fall in love with and you just, it's not work. You know, you just continue learning. And
so how do you describe your life now as a producer?
Wow.
What is that? I mean, everyone says I'm going to grow up to be a producer. And, you know, so what does that mean? Right.
Yeah.
I feel a piece of my life as a producer, but,
right.
you know, we create things and we move things forward.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're producing in a very sophisticated place now, right?
Thank you.
With the music production.
Mm.
How do you define your life now in that field?
It's interesting. I do wear a lot of different hats. I do a lot of production in the studio, creating music, composing music, playing violin on productions. I also do a lot of live music production. So creating and designing live shows for other artists as well as myself. So that's been really my main thing, I think, for the past 10 years or so.
Just advising performers or
advising performers, but also going on tour with other artists to help them augment their live shows with the technology and using things called backing tracks for the shows and things like that and editing those things. So I've created a company around that and we do a lot of live show design for artists. Yeah.
So that the performing with technology is sort of taken is still existing, right?
Yeah.
But parallel to that is a company that designs that experience for other artists.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, yeah. It just kind of happened also by accident, fell into it. I thought, well, I've been successful and I want to share my success with others who I think are amazing and talented. So I started hiring people and having them go on tours through my company, and we've grown and grown and grown. And
how big is your company?
Right now we're like, we're about 15. We're about six people that are, you know, employees, and then the rest are freelancers.
Mm-hmm. Contract.
Yeah.
Contractors.
Yeah.
By the show, by the gig.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Who's been the kind of the most inspiring person you've worked with to get this work moving?
Yeah.
Can you say out of school, or are these?
I mean, inspiring, I guess, is an interesting word. Well, so I toured with Kanye West for 6 years, and that was quite an experience. And I want to, that was probably the most inspiring experience, just because I got to work at that level and see what productions are like at that level, and get to meet a lot of fascinating, interesting people.
Again, producing Backtrack and
doing all the music it's like live music production for the show.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
So making sure that all the sounds are exactly right for every show, editing the music, doing things like vocal effects and drum sounds and keyboard sounds, mm-hmm. and basically anything that the artist or the musical director has in their mind that they want the show to sound like, it's our job to make that happen in the moment. So it's
because an artist is constantly evolving and creating, and then the show the next night might have a little bit
They need that extension of their brain, right? Because the artists aren't necessarily technologically savvy. I mean, some of them are, but they've got an idea and they just want someone to make that idea happen. Mm-hmm. And so it's fun to be that creative brain for someone.
That must have been quite a 6 years.
It was great. Yeah.
Did it lay the bedrock for the business in a certain way? I mean, it gave you the kind of the legs to stabilize the business.
Yeah, it was through that work that I started getting a lot of calls. And that's how I started parlaying my success into helping others with their success. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Creating jobs and opportunities for people. Yeah, which I'm very passionate about. Yeah.
And you're still only 16 compared to me. I mean, really.
No, really.
Congratulations for, you know, having the courage.
Oh, thank you so much.
Right?
Yeah.
To take places where maybe you didn't even know you would go.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's been quite the journey. It's great to be here. I mean, like I said,
you've been here you've come for 15 years.
Yeah.
Just kind of lurking around the edges, and we didn't know you were here.
Well, kind of lurking. I mean, in 2005 was my first NAMM. I just moved to LA. And I got a job with a company called M Audio. And the next year, I was actually in a booth doing Pro Tools demos. And I did Pro Tools demos for M Audio. And then 2 years later, I started working at a company called Ableton, was doing Ableton demos. And so I've been around.
You've been in the NAMM show trenches.
I have. Yeah. And then I had to take some years off because of touring, you know, and not being around, and the schedule's not syncing up. And I think 2 years ago, the Grammys were in the same weekend as NAMM, and I was at the Grammys, so I missed that NAMM.
Yeah, we were all going a little mad that year because, many folks had a run up on, they had a run up from here on for events on Friday. They had a run up here for events on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have a lot of crossover.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are coming back and forth. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're going to do the Careers in Music Summit. Is that your last gig here at this NAMM
show? It is. Yeah. And tomorrow I get to just walk around.
See
and
all your
see
old
people.
Friends.
Yeah.
Right. Go look at everybody else's demos.
See the gear. Yeah, exactly. I'm very excited about that.
It'll be fun. And then what's next for you artistically and for the company?
Yeah.
What's lined up on the calendar?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm working on a new album right now. I'm doing my first performance in Quad, which is a spatial audio, a surround sound. And that's going to be in March.
Where's that going to be?
Synthplex in LA. It's an amazing synth convention. I'm doing all the playback on American Idol, which starts in March through May as well. And
for those of us who don't know, you're doing all the playback for American Idol.
Yeah, the music playback.
What does that mean?
So when you go to any concert and there's a band, the band is not playing every single element, right, of the music. And so you have to have something called backing tracks. You have to have a click so that the band members can stay in time. And so sounds to fill in the gaps where, you know, the album sounds a certain way and the band members can only play a certain amount of those sounds, right? So that's what music playback is, or backing tracks. And it also synchronizes the entire show because the shows run on timetables. So a song can only be a certain amount of time because they've got commercial breaks and all this kind of stuff. So it's very like timed out. And that's why they need the music playback, because if the band was just up there playing, it might be shorter or longer than the allotted time. Yeah.
So they still use click tracks.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm so proud of myself at this moment because as a musician, we use click tracks, but they were actually connected to a little, I hate to say this, people are going to say, where'd you, are you 90? No, I'm not 90, but they were on little, on reel-to-reel tape recorders.
Yeah.
And then we were all connected to single earpieces that looked like in transistor radio earpieces.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would play the click tracks. Mm-hmm. So it's now it's just the more sophisticated. It's the in-ear monitor.
Exactly.
You're all Wi-Fi
up.
Yes,
you already know.
You go, so that's what, okay. Well, I can do this.
You've got it.
Yeah. And I'm still trying to figure out how to do the pedal thing. No, I'm just teasing. I kind of know, but I kind of don't. So that's next for you. What else is next?
I'm actually performing at the Grammys next weekend.
You are?
Yeah.
On stage Sunday night?
So I'm playing with the Grammy Premiere Band. And so most people don't really realize this, but when you watch the televised award show, only about 20 people or so win awards, but then there's hundreds of other categories. And so I play with a band that gives the awards out to all the other categories.
In the afternoon.
In the afternoon.
Now, the first year I went to the Grammys, I went when that happened. And that made the whole Grammy experience for me because it's the community. It's where
that's the real show.
You've got the televised show and then you've got the real show, which is
the industry show. Where everyone in the industry
that was
is
just
there.
Fantastic. Yeah. And that's in the Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'll be there on stage doing the music playback
for that. So
and
great.
Playing violin and electronics. And
that's so great. Yeah, you're at the real Grammys.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go this year, but I'm going to be there Saturday. You're going to be at the sound check.
Because
that's where I really like to go too. Sneak in the back door. And
yes.
Where all the cables are.
Yeah. See by the cables. Yeah.
Isn't this funny? This is what we really love. We really just love the how it gets done.
Yeah. Right? I love the behind the scenes. I have just such respect for everyone and the crew and
me
everyone
too.
That puts these shows together. It's just such an undertaking.
And what they know. Mm-hmm. And what they're able to
do. And, so the logistics. And
so that's happening this week, and you've got some really cool things and other things, no doubt, on the horizon.
A lot of amazing things.
And now you're participating here at the NAMM show in a really different and wonderful way.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of a product of the NAMM show.
I am. Right? I came up through the NAMM show. I mean,
remarkable. And I think
it's very fun.
I'm so grateful for my staffer, Claire Krieger-Bowes, who found you.
She's amazing.
The remarkable senior project manager that runs our Gen Next program, our college program. Mm-hmm. And so grateful that she helped us put these pieces together.
She's fantastic. I met her at a keynote that I did a few months ago.
Yeah.
And she was came right up afterwards and said, we've got to have you come.
We've got to get you up on the big stage. And you are, right?
It was fantastic.
So any final thoughts for our audience here?
I think a lot of people just ask me, like, how did I get here where I am? And I think it's just falling in love with that thing, you know, that thing that sparks your joy, really. And I've just been tuning into joy recently and what really lights me up, because there's a lot of things that come at us, you know, all the time. And there's a lot of choices that we have, paths and ways to go and things to do. But really, I've just been trying to quiet myself and stay more still and ask myself, what is it that I truly, truly want? And I've been carving that more and more, and also not being afraid to ask for help, you know, with those things that aren't in your zone of genius, the things that don't bring you joy. You think, I can't afford to hire an assistant, or I can't afford to do this, or whatever limiting beliefs you might have. But I've found when you start to offload those things that don't bring you joy and aren't necessarily in your zone of genius, when you get to be more in your zone of genius, then things start to really open up and it just starts happening, right? So I just encourage everyone to just really get still and listen to themselves and find what brings them joy and just follow that path, you know?
We're just going to sit for a moment on what you've just said. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And I love the concept of every person has a zone of genius. And it's that process of the giving oneself permission.
Absolutely.
Right. To embrace all that it could be. So, well, we're so grateful to have you part of Gen Next at 4 o'clock today.
Yep.
Right. We'll be gathering. We'll have a great time with that. And thank you so much, Laura, for being part of Talking at Music Education. And we thank all of you for being here with us live from the NAMM Show in Anaheim, California, for Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.